You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye, the movie guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we stand in front of the judge, we stand in front of the jury, as we cover our top five favorite courtroom movies.
Well, that's nothing new for us. We stand in front of the judge and jury every week at Cinema War.
I know. And we are doing this topic because there is a new movie coming out with Robert Duvall and Robert Downey Jr. entitled The Judge.
Bobby and Bobby.
Robert and Robert.
Yeah. Look, I like Bobby and Bobby.
It probably sounds a little bit better.
We know them so well at this point.
Looks like an interesting movie. I think we're going to get out to a screening of it on Monday.
I can't wait.
We are going eye for an eye on The Judge, Matt.
Judge Dredd?
No, The Judge.
Oh. Sorry, I'm really excited for that sequel.
Oh, boy. Please don't be. We also have a great guest joining us, Jen Bosworth, who is a comedian here in Chicago, really just a performer. She's on WGN Radio. She's going to be stopping by, and we've been wanting to talk to Jen for a very, very long time.
I know. I'm stoked. It's going to be fun.
In addition to that, Matt, we have a theater review of The Maze Runner.
Nice.
We have our top five favorite courtroom movies, as I mentioned.
Yep.
Plus, in honor of Robert Duvall and Robert Downey Jr. being in The Judge, you will be taking Jen on in Robert movie trivia. Think of all the famous Roberts out there.
That's why you were against the whole Bobby thing. It all comes full circle. It makes sense now.
It does.
It's also clear.
And you know what's funny, too, is I saw advertisements. They are releasing a movie this weekend entitled Annabelle, which is based on the doll that was in the movie The Conjuring.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh,
the
man.
Warrens, right?
Yes. And yeah. I thought, wow, it really is pretty evident that dolls are probably one of the most scariest things that pop up in horror movies.
I don't know. What about clowns?
Clowns? That's laughable, Matt. No pun intended, but that's laughable.
Oh, man, you are dead wrong. You're telling me the dolls are scarier than clowns?
Hell yeah. They look lifelike, somewhat real. The way their eyes glaze over you, scary as hell.
Cinema War.
Oh, boy. Jen's going to have her hands full on that one.
Yeah.
Here we're going eye for an eye on a judge.
Easy. I'm going to win.
We're going eye for an eye on a judge, and she's going to have to judge that tough Cinema War.
I see the theme we have this week. This is good.
Yeah, I agree. It's wonderful, isn't it?
It is.
So I think that's everything that we're talking about, man.
Those are the high points.
Yeah, it's a pretty jam-packed jaw, as always.
Yeah, yeah.
So without further ado, we bring in our guest, Jen Bosworth. She is a damn fine lady. She was starring in her one-woman show entitled Why Not Me, Love, Cancer, and Jack White. What a name for a show, Matt.
Yeah.
Jen Bosworth, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here.
That's wonderful. We're glad that you can finally come by Cinema Jaw Studios here at the Original Mothers.
Yeah, I'm glad. This place is amazing.
It's nice.
I'm such a dork. I don't go to bars, but if I did, I'd come here.
You'd be well served to come to the Original Mothers. It's a great place.
I'm liking the vibe here a lot.
Cool.
That's awesome. So as I had mentioned, you were in a one-woman show, and it got a lot of publicity, and it played everywhere. I believe it played in New York.
It was in New York here, and I've had other shows in L.A., but mostly New York and here.
And the name just jumps out at you. It is entitled Why Not Me, Love, Cancer, and Jack White.
Yeah.
Jen, explain yourself.
So it's a comedy about cancer.
That's always a good topic.
That's a laugh a minute. It's about taking care of my mom as she passed away. But my mom was a very funny lady, so there's a lot of humor in it. And then the Jack White part is that I started to have these weird sexual dreams about him, and I had no idea who he was. I wasn't a big White Stripes fan, and I started to have these reoccurring dreams about him, and it got like real weird real fast. And so that in the show really symbolizes how when we're freaked out, we go to like a fantasy world. A lot like, you know, in movies, when, you know, we go see the movies we love, we get involved in movies. I just happened to get involved with this rock star that looks like, you know, Cousin It. That was my thing. So that's where the title comes from. And it's like, well, why not me? I thought all these, you know, we think all these horrible things happen to us, or at least I did. And then I was like, wait a minute. Horrible things happen to all of us. Thank God. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's the title.
And when you're doing a one-woman show like that, is this something that you sat down and were able to write right from the beginning, or did it sort of evolve into what it became and you were performing it multiple times and then it became what it did?
That's a great question. It evolves. Just like comedy, you know, like a bit will evolve. So it started as one way and, oh, I like this. And then as the audience, you know, as people watch it and they laugh at certain parts.
Sure, you get the feedback.
Yeah, at certain parts, you're like, that wasn't funny at all. So then you change it up and then it evolves. So it totally was a process. It was not like, you know, I'm not one of those people that's precious about their work. Like, do not change this. I had a director who said, like, cut that, get that out. And I listened to her because, you know, I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. So I need help.
Now you say actor, but were you doing or have done any stand-up comedy?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So you've done comedy as well.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's like people ask what I am, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a performer, because that kind of encompasses everything. But then people think you're like a weird performance artist.
Right.
You're going to like pee on yourself and stuff.
You're painting yourself silver and standing really still.
Right, and drinking urine. No. So, yeah, right, it's for hours. Right. I wish I could do that and get paid, but no. So I do. I've done stand-up all over the city, but mostly it's sort of long-form stand-up. You know what I mean?
Sure. More storytelling kind of stuff.
Less bits, yeah. More storytelling.
Well, how long was the one-woman show in length? How long were you up on stage?
Well, the first round of it was only 45, and now it's an hour and 20.
Wow.
It, like, really evolved because people were saying, basically, we don't want to pay $20 for 45 minutes. No, sure. But they wanted more, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Now, the show just ended, but do you have plans to continue on with it?
So I would love to take it to Los Angeles, and so I'm working on that right now and reaching out to people and, you know, seeing where else it can go. But yeah, so the plan is to keep doing it. I self-produced it, and as you guys know, self-producing is a whole festival of challenges and wonders. So I'm looking for someone else to produce it.
You need an Elias is what you need.
Elias.
But not this one. He's ours. Yeah. Okay?
Give me your money.
Yeah. We don't let him out of the job box. No. He is trapped in here.
He lives here.
He does. Yeah. He absolutely does. Now, what's interesting, too, is you actually hold two master's degrees in psychology.
I do.
So how did you get into comedy and acting after going through two master's programs?
You know, I always wanted to be an actor, and then I had that thing. I moved to LA and was like, oh my God, I'm too ugly. I'm too fat. I'm going to quit. And then I quit. And then I thought, well, what else do I want to do? And I'm like, well, I like people, sort of, but I like people. And so I was like, I would like to help people. I really did. And for 5 years, I was a drug and alcohol counselor in Uptown. So that's what I did for a long time. And then I got back into acting later.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I wanted to mention the title of your first one-woman show because it's I love the creative name. It is entitled, I'm Not Trying to Get an Agent. This is My School Project.
Yeah, I like that name. And it was true. It was a master's thesis project. I went to a hippy-dippy graduate school, and the thesis was to live out a dream. Like, that was the thesis.
Really?
Yeah. And I paid a lot of $44,000 to live out a dream. And that dream was not to be in debt. But so I did this one person show, and it was my thesis project. And funny enough, you know, as I worked for Nicolas Cage, and all of his people came and loved it. And so I was bitten again by the acting bug.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, I was just about to go there. It's an interesting point in your bio that you worked pretty closely with Nicolas Cage for a little while.
I certainly did. My favorite thing that he ever said to me was, Jen, what's a deli? That was my favorite. He needed me to explain to him what a deli was. But anyway, I'm always thinking I'm going to get sued, but that's okay. I have no money. I owe $44,000 anyway. So, yes, I was one of his three assistants from 2001 to 2006, and it was the craziest thing ever. He's lovely, generous, and the weirdest man on the planet.
He is. He lives up to that expectation.
He is. People say, is he crazy? And I say, look, yes. You know what I mean? Like, he's a strange dude. Nothing wrong with him, but he's weird. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
He wasn't mean. He didn't scream. He wasn't one of those kind of bosses. Just a very strange individual.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got to just drop one example on me.
Of strangeness?
Yeah. I mean, aside from the whole what's a deli?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when I went through the job process of through his henchmen, and then they're like, okay, you have to meet Nicolas Cage. And I was like, okay. And they said, we're going to put you in a white van and take you to the desert. And I was like, either I'm going to be killed or this is going to make a great story.
So
either
way. So were you super relieved when you actually saw Nicholas?
Well, I got out of the... and it was John Woo's Windtalkers.
Did anybody by chance put a bag over your head as well?
No, and there was no clowns or dolls involved. But
were there windows in this van at least?
There were windows in the van. I got out and he was making Windtalkers with John Woo. Okay. So they were in the desert.
They could have just said that, you know, like we're going out to the...
No, I know.
Set,
LA, everyone's real... It's a big mystery, you know what I mean?
We're going to put you in a van and take you to the desert.
Right, right. It was very dramatic. And so I got there and he's in this little trailer and it's him, except that his face is blown off. Half his ear is blown off because it's a warm, you know, and I couldn't get over it. And so we're staring at each other for like 5 minutes and I'm shaking because he looks and I'm right in front of his face and he finally goes, Jen. He looked at my resume, saw my name. Jen, it's a fake ear. That's my favorite. But it was like after 5 minutes of dead silence, me staring at him, him staring at me, me shaking, and him finally saying, Jen, it's a fake ear. and then shortly after that, I got the job.
That is so funny. I love your impersonation of Nick Cage. I think it's one of the
best
I've heard.
Usually it's better. Usually it's, Jen, it's Nick. Yeah, that's exactly how I sound. Jen, it's Nick.
Well, what's funny is we there were all these reports for a while that he was going bankrupt because he was buying all these weird stuff. Uh-huh. He bought a castle and Superman. Did he make some odd purchases that you were like, oh my God, what is he doing with his money?
He bought the robot from Lost in Space. He has it in his living room.
He does.
And I was like,
did you say Danger Will Robinson to him?
It said it. Yes, he had it re-rigged. So at a Christmas party, I was like, is that the... And then I was like, Danger. And I was like, oh my God.
I mean, can't you just buy a replica? You got to buy the actual robot.
Famous people, they don't know what they're doing.
That is awesome. Yeah. I would like to have that robot in my living room.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but it's annoying after a while. I keep saying that. Can you imagine every morning?
Was it one of those, like, when you walk past it, it triggered it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it kept saying it. So either someone was pressing the button or it's just annoying. But yeah, that was the one of the weirder. And the boa constrictors. He was big on snakes.
Really?
Look, I don't know. I kept him in the basement. I don't know. I don't know.
This is a whole nother one woman show in the future.
This is a whole nother Oprah. Yeah.
You might get sued, but hey, it would be great entertainment.
It's a great story.
Yeah. It is. We're definitely going to have her back to talk more Nick Cage.
Sure.
But other exciting thing with Jen. Listen, you look at her bio, and there's so many things I want to touch on. You also acted in Early Edition in Chicago, and you were on an episode of ER.
I was on an episode of ER, and I just broke all the rules. Like I was 22. I didn't know what was happening. And I guess when you finish an episode, so I was just telling someone this, when you finish an episode, you're supposed to thank everybody on the stars.
Oh, you forgot Clooney? You forgot to thank Clooney?
He wasn't there. But Juliana Margulies. Okay. I had her scene with her and I did not, after they say cut and it's right on Chicago Avenue near Western. So I'm like, I'm going to take the bus home. So I leave and she runs down the street meanly screaming, "Bye, Jen!" Like making fun of the fact that I did not thank her.
Wow.
And so I didn't know what was happening. So I just said, bye. And I just kept walking to the bus. But later, my agent told me, like, dude, you have to thank everybody. And I was like, I was so nervous. I didn't even want to talk to anybody. So yeah, I was on that show. I did one episode. It was like a glorified extra, but still, it was a deal.
Yeah. I mean, you had some speaking parts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's all you want, right? Mm-hmm.
No, I was grateful. I didn't know that I screwed everything up.
Yeah. The protocol there, the etiquette. How strange.
It was, yeah.
So that brings us to current day Jen Bosworth. Two important and fun projects you have going on. One, did I read this correctly on the internet? You are writing a book?
I am. I'm writing a book based on the show, based on my life. Look at that.
Oh, how meta.
How meta. I am writing a book, and it's a memoir, and it's taking me forever. And I start my writing processes like this. I start writing, and then I end up watching true crime on YouTube. So my book is going really well. no, but it's been a slow process, but it's a fun process. I like writing. I like writing it.
If you write two words a day, that counts.
Do you think?
Absolutely.
Is that what you are? You a writer too?
Well, you know, I used to write more before we did the podcast, but yeah,
before your life was in...
It's comic books, but hey, it counts.
No, that counts.
Published work.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. So,
and the other sort of fun project you got going on is you can be heard here in Chicago on WGN Radio.
So yeah, I'm so excited. So once a month, it started with me going on Nick DiGilio's show, overnight show.
Big fan of Nick.
You are?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's great, and he started at 19, a youngster like yourself.
You think we could get Nick on the show? I think we got to get Nick on the show at some point.
I was on Nick's show a few weeks ago.
What?
I was promoting one of the events we do here at Mother's.
Oh my God.
And I was like, dude, you have to come on Cinema Jaw. And he said he would.
He's going to come on. He's the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
So we met somehow, and he said, come. So I come, I'm on his show, and then we're trying to work it out so that I can become a fill-in at WGN. And I love being on that radio. It's like there's so much history there.
Sure.
Obviously. And I love the building. I love everything about it. So right now you can hear me overnights with Nick. Not all the time. I'm an occasional person, but I love it.
That's awesome.
But actually, your equipment sounds better.
See? That's because of Elias.
We got
the card up our sleeves, and his name is Elias Rodriguez.
I love me some Elias.
Isn't our couch pretty comfortable over there?
The couch is comfortable. I like the color scheme of these dots. It's very white stripesy, except it's polka dots. And I like your setup here.
Oh, thanks. Now, obviously, Jawheads, you had to be entertained by this interview. If you want to find out more about Jen Bosworth, where's the best place to do so online?
You can just go to adamnicelady.com. You could put the www in, too.
where did you get that idea for the website?
Well, Jen Bosworth was taken, and I don't like Jennifer Bosworth because it reminds me of being in trouble. And there's warrants out with Jennifer Bosworth. And no. And there's everything was taken. That's the easy answer, is everything was taken. And I didn't want to do .org because that's like your charity.
Right.
That's weird.
Or .net. That's just like the bargain basement. Yes.
Or .xxx. That's not good either.
No, that's not good either. That's a whole nother situation.
You could do the .tv, though.
Really?
You know? Yeah, because then people think like, oh, she's on TV.
You can?
Yeah, totally.
Oh.
It's a nice little...
You've changed my... you've blown my mind
it's
here.
It's not too late, Jen.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, right now it's adamnicelady.com, but I'm thinking it might be .tv soon.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what about Twitter? Are you on the tweets?
I am. Why not me the show?
Okay.
With the at symbol.
Why not be the show?
Why not me?
Why not me?
Why not me the show?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Definitely want to make sure the Jawheads are following you on Twitter as well. Yeah. So Jen is going to be hanging out on this entire Jaw. She has her top five favorite courtroom dramas. Or doesn't she? It doesn't have to be dramas.
No. Yeah. Courtroom movies, right?
Right. Because, I got a
comedy in there.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad you do.
I got a horror movie in mind, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Obviously, Matt has a horror film on his.
Well, it is October.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't. I tell you, Matt, it does bring us to a segment called Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore. An Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
Mobile Monkey.
Tell me more.
Mobile Monkey is a power bank for your cell phone or whatever device. It's the smallest, lightest external battery charger in the world. And never before, Rye, has so much power come in such a small package. Get this. It's only 1.5 by 1.5 by 3.5 inches. Fits right in your pocket. It weighs only half a pound. And it will add 5 to 6 full charges to most of your devices. It's so convenient. You can put this right in your pocket. If you have kids, don't let them leave the house without this thing, because then you will know that they will always be available. No excuses. Oh, my phone died. It's a great substitute for a car charger. And, you know, these things are fantastic. You should buy one.
Absolutely. And if you want to find out more about it, Jawheads, go to mobilemonkey.com. We thank them for their sponsorship of Cinema Jaw. Eye for an Eye this week, Matt, the judge. Big city lawyer Hank Palmer returns to his childhood home where his father, the town's judge, is suspected of murder. Hank sets out to discover the truth. And along the way, Matt, he reconnects with his estranged family. The film stars Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall. It was directed by David Dupkin, who directed both The Wedding Crashers and Fred Claus. Matt, interested or ignore on The Judge?
I got to be honest here. It just doesn't sound that good. But with that cast, it's kind of compelling. So I would probably say ignore if it wasn't for Duvall and Robert Downey Jr. So interested.
We throw it to Jen, interest or ignore, on the judge.
I am in total agreement that the cast sounds amazing and the storyline sounds... So I'm going to say interest.
Save us, Ryan.
Well, you know what? I was actually in the same exact boat. I'm not totally sold on this movie. And at first, when I actually saw it a long time ago that it was coming out, and it was called The Judge, and it had Duvall and Robert Downey Jr., I thought it was going to be a drama.
Sure.
But now that I saw the trailer and who he was directing it, I was like, oh, it's sort of like a dramedy. It's a comedy.
Right.
It's got a little drama involved, but it's really going for laughs. And that sort of scares me. I'm giving this one an ignore.
I'm glad somebody did.
Yeah, I was kind of grateful you did that.
Me too.
Two interesteds, mild interesteds, mm-hmm. one ignore for The Judge. Matt, speaking of new movies, me and you both got out and caught The Maze Runner.
What is this place?
Can you tell me your name?
I can't remember anything.
Who put us here? We don't know.
What's out there?
The maze.
Every morning when those doors open, the runners look for a way out. And no one has ever survived a night in the maze.
What happens to them? We don't belong here.
I think it's time we find out what we're really up against.
Everything started changing the moment you showed up.
It's a girl.
Thomas.
Why are we different?
What if we were sent here for a reason?
You're not like the others. You're curious. But if you want to stay here, I need to know that you're going to follow the rules.
Just what the world needs, Matt. Another movie based on a young adult novel. Or better yet, based on a trilogy of novels. Maybe it was because I was almost rooting against it, but The Maze Runner shocked me a little. I'm not going to say it was some great piece of cinema, but I did have some fun with it. I loved how the movie opens as our star, Thomas, is entering the Clave, an area inhabited by a bunch of teenage boys. When he enters, he does not know where he is or who he is. He can't even remember his name. This is the case with all the boys there. Some, we come to find out, have been there for over 3 years. Their Clave area is surrounded by a huge maze that changes around at night. What is the meaning of it and who is behind it? No one knows or even has a guess. I think this is the element I liked most about The Maze Runner. You are not given many answers until the end of the film. However, I do wish the payoff was a bit better and more coherent, but we probably have another 2 or 3 films to explain it all to us. I would say it's better than Divergent, not as good as The Hunger Games. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 2¾ Jaws.
All right, I have not read these books, newsflash.
Nor have I.
And I went in with zero expectations for this thing, and I was shocked at how much I really enjoyed this movie. And I would go ahead and say it's better than The Hunger Games. I think the acting was actually off the charts. I thought it was really good. I can't point to a single character that wasn't a good actor. I would say there's a lot of The Goonies in there, a lot of Lord of the Flies. You got some this Swiss Family Robinson. And then the maze throws in that whole The Cube. Have you ever seen this film? It's a horror sci-fi thing. Which are all favorite movies of mine. So the elements of this film were great. It was very, very creative. And it, like Ryan was saying, it kept you on the edge of your seat. Mm. The thing that sucked for me, and the only reason this doesn't get a higher score, is the very, very end, and I won't spoil it, but you get this payoff. You get this, they're trying to escape from a maze. So you can kind of maybe guess what happens.
Right.
But at the very end, they throw another little thing, which is like, and we'll be back in Maze Runner 2. I was so disappointed by that. If they had just ended it there, it would have been a much better movie.
Yeah, or they could have ended it with a little bit more intrigue, because
I didn't like the end, the very end.
There's almost a twist on top of a twist, right? They get out of the maze and
spoiler alert.
Obviously, come on. They get out of the maze and you finally see like what was somewhat behind it, right. But that wasn't really what was behind it. Right. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And they sort of spell it out at the end. That's like exactly what you said. Can't wait until you drop another $10 at the cinema to find out more about what's going on.
They might as well put "to be continued" up there. I mean, it was that creative.
Wow. Is it rated R?
No. But you know what? I think this is a PG, and I thought it was quite violent. There are a lot of these teenage boys that die throughout the film in various ways.
Really?
And I was thinking to myself, who is this made for? Because I'm always against
ratings. There's no gore,
but it's still...
I mean,
yeah, there's some violence.
Yeah, there's violence, and there's people dying, and they talk about the deaths of... You know, the kids. I mean, there's one point, for instance, where they actually cross the names off on the wall of the maze. And it's sort of a heavy subject, I would say, for a young adult. You know, for somebody who's 12 years old seeing this, I would guess.
No, I agree. I mean, I think PG is a fair rating for this film. I would give it 3 Jaws. I think it's definitely, thank you, something worth seeing that's in the theaters right now. Probably... the best movie that opened up this past weekend, I would say.
It did shock me. And again, I was unfamiliar with the books. I'll probably end up checking out number 2. And Patricia Clarkson is also in this movie. She sort of shows up in a little bit of the flashbacks and near the end.
Yeah, largely.
I like her.
I like her too. She was kind of wasted in this. Aww. She didn't have a big enough role, but obviously I think she's going to be...
coming back.
Yeah, right. She's going to be a larger part in the subsequent sequels.
Yeah, and there's more. I wish we could talk more about... some elements, but it would spoil a couple of the...
I will say this. There's some monsters in the maze, obviously. There has to be a Minotaur, right? And the monsters were great.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
I love a good monster.
They were so creepy. They had this sort of biomechanical thing going on. They were half robot, half organic. Mm. And I didn't see that coming. They're very, very creepy. They'll last in your brain.
And I don't know if it's just me, but I love scenes, not just in The Maze Runner, but in any type of movie like Indiana Jones, when characters have to run through like a wall that's closing.
Oh, yeah.
Or two walls that are sliding in on them. And The Maze Runner had a couple of those elements.
Oh, yeah.
And I know the kid's not going to get crushed.
He's we know they're going to make it, right? But it's still awesome.
I literally, I'm at the new 400 Met. I'm clenching the sides. I'm like, is he going to get through this thing? It was so thin of a margin that, you know.
Yeah.
I love
Are you a little claustrophobic? Is that it, maybe?
I don't think I am, but for some reason, those kind of scenes in movies always get
me. It's a very Indiana Jones situation.
Right.
Very much so. Yeah.
Awesome. So 2¾ Jaws from Rye the Movie Guy, 3 Jaws from Matt Kay.
I recommend it. It's a shame that it's going to be one of these stupid trilogies. I wish they'd stop doing that, but this one is a bit better than most.
I if they go back into a maze in the second one, I won't even go see it. They better change
it up.
It's
called Maze Runner. I mean,
it reminds me of the Hunger Games. They come out of one Hunger Games, they're just going to go back to another Hunger Games.
Right.
Right.
Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Change it up. But definitely, Jawheads, it is worth checking out. Me and Matt were both, I guess, pleasantly surprised.
Indeed.
No judge, no jury, no courtroom in these movies.
But there
at
was
all.
An executioner.
But there was an executioner.
Yes.
But our topic this week, because the new movie opening up called The Judge is courtroom movies. I can't believe we are 208 episodes into Cinema Jaw and we have not done courtroom.
Oh, 200. How many?
208.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
That's 5 years. Really cool. 5 years.
5 years.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Oh, you do not become an expert overnight, Jen.
No. No. This is amazing, though. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Oh, thanks.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. You're getting us started this week and you came prepared. I love this. She's got a book here, she's got all kinds of notes.
I know.
Wow, this is awesome. What is your number 5 favorite courtroom movie, Jen?
Okay, 1987's Nuts, starring Barbara Streisand, Richard Dreyfuss.
I'm pretty sure I've never seen it.
I have never seen it either.
Barbara Streisand is a high-class call girl accused of murder.
Sign me up.
And they both, by the way, were Richard Dreyfuss and Barbara Streisand, a Golden Globe nominees. They didn't win anything. But anyway, she's this, and her parents step in and try to declare her mentally incompetent. And that's why, and it's her fight against the system. And it's real, it's actually really good. I happen to love Barbara Streisand.
Babs.
I love Babs. I'm not so much on the singing, but I actually think she's a very good actor. I really do. And I, so that's my number 5. Nuts.
Hey, I'll put it on the queue. I'll check it out. And I like Richard Dreyfuss a lot.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Dreyfuss is good. And I'd agree with you on Babs too. I mean, I can't think of a role that I've seen her in that I really disliked.
You know, she's pretty good. Yeah. She's pretty good.
Did you see that latest one with Seth Rogen?
Oh. No, you're right. I've heard that was a pile of crap.
Bite your tongue, Matthew.
Yeah, right there. No. Yeah, I forgot about that. Let's forget that it ever happened.
Matt, what do you got sitting at number five?
All right. So I will admit that this is not my strong suit. I was going doing the research, and I'm like, nope, haven't seen that one. Haven't seen that one.
Right.
I've never seen that one. This one is a bit of a stretch. I promise they get better from here, but it's a really good scene in a film and a great movie, Flight.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I like that pick.
Great movie. And the very last or very near to the end of the film, he's I don't know if it's exactly a courtroom, but he's at a hearing that's going to decide.
Yeah, close enough.
And he could get away with it if he just implicates a dead woman. That's all he has to do. She's dead. Her reputation is irrelevant at this point.
Right.
But he feels guilty because he knew her and she was his friend. So he finally comes clean and it's his rock bottom moment. Such a powerful scene when he's like, no, it was me. I was drunk.
Right.
In fact, I'm always drunk. I'm drunk right now.
Right.
You know? And I was just like,
it's super powerful.
Yeah.
It's actually really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it was great acting by Denzel.
Oh, super. And I love the fact that you can see in that moment that he just chooses to do the right thing for like the first time in his whole life. You know, I like that choice.
Thank you.
So do I.
I mean, it's not a great courtroom movie, but that scene,
scene is brilliant in there.
Don't beat yourself up over there.
All right.
At number five, I have a tie. Against the rules, I know. And I should mention, because I've mentioned this movie a lot of times, I just put it as sort of my memorial courtroom list. My To Kill a Mockingbird memorial courtroom list. It may come up on someone else's list. It's just I've talked about it enough, so I'm not going to have it on mine.
Okay.
And at number five, I thought for sure this movie would actually be higher on my list because I remember seeing it the first time and loving it. Went back and saw it about 6 months ago. Not as great as I remember it, but it came out in 1996. It was Ed Norton's debut. I'm speaking of Primal Fear.
Ooh, that is low.
That is amazing.
Yes. On your list, Jen? It may come up later.
It's not.
Not on mine either. No. Go ahead. Talk about
it. Go ahead.
All right. So I was going to say, obviously, this is Ed Norton's debut, and it's really his movie. It's an amazing movie.
Yeah, it's certainly not Richard Gere's movie.
No.
Right. You know,
is any movie Richard?
Maybe Pretty Woman. Maybe.
Maybe.
Officer and a Gentleman. We'll give him that one.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boy, was he an officer. All right. Back to the show. I say
this. Jerk officer.
I went back and I watched the movie because I remember Ed Norton's performance being so unbelievable. And it is. It's still very worthy to talk about and mention. It's pretty amazing. But the movie itself isn't as compelling as I remember it being. I thought Primal Fear was excellent. And now I would say it's more like, it's a 2.5, 3-star
movie. What's
that
twist? It's the twist.
And I think when you go back and you know it.
You know, it's not a two-timer for me.
Right, I agree.
I know the deal.
Yeah.
Unlike other twist movies like Sixth Sense where
you go back
and
it's almost fun to watch it with the twist.
Sure.
Right.
Knowing this is not the case.
No, not the case.
No pun intended.
But he's brilliant.
Sure. The one I haven't tied with is a movie that I really wanted to bring out to the Jawheads. Came out in 2007 called The Chicago 10.
Ooh.
And this is based on the eight men on trial for starting the Chicago riots in 1968 Democratic Convention.
What happened to the other two?
Yeah.
Well, they call the two lawyers is why they call themselves the Chicago 10. But there were eight men on trial. And it's a documentary. And obviously, there's no footage in the courtroom at that time. So what they did is they used the courtroom archival
transcripts.
Yeah. So you hear the audio of it. And they use animation throughout that.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
That's so awesome.
And then intertwined with that is the actual footage.
Wait, was it the actual audio from the proceedings?
Yes.
Oh, that's really cool.
That's really cool. And then you have like Abby Hoffman and Bobby Seale. Their actual, you know, archival footage of them talking about what was going on back in the time and the riots, and just an interesting story because was it really them ensuing the riots or was it more of a, like obviously the police that sort of overreacted, and you go back and forth and very interesting.
Is it on Netflix?
You got to look for it.
Okay.
Throw that in the jaw box. See if the Chicago 10 is on Netflix. I saw it about 2-3 years ago. It's an awesome documentary. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah. That is my number five. It was a tie. We're into our fours. Jen, what do you got sitting there?
Okay. Number four for me is A Few Good Men. 1992. Of course, Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson and Demi Moore with short hair. And but not super short like G.I. Jane.
That's about as short as it gets.
Yeah.
So, they, Jack Nicholson was nominated but did not win for an Academy Award for that. But it's the story of Tom Cruise, who is a lawyer, but he's never been in a courtroom before.
Right.
And he's a military. They're all military people.
Oh, sure.
And so someone goes awry, and these two soldiers kill another soldier. And anyway, bottom line is it's the you can't handle the truth situation. And I, as sort of cliche as that's become, when I first saw it, I remember in the theater, Jack Nicholson saying that and being so startled. And I just thought it was really, there's something about, you know, especially early, younger Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so scary. That's
he wasn't even that young at the time. I think he was in his 50s.
Oh, man. But
it's one of my favorite scenes. 50s.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It's such a brilliant, high stakes, and anytime someone yells at Tom Cruise, I like that. So, right.
But you know what? I always bring this up about that scene is obviously Jack gets a lot of credit and he deserves it. But Tom Cruise holds his own.
Yes.
He comes right back in and starts yelling at him. And you need him to be that cocky kid that's going after it right there. He goes for it.
Did you order the code red?
Yeah. Right. I love it.
Right. So there we go.
Great pick. Great pick. Matt, what do you got sitting at number four?
At number four, I love this movie. It comes up around the holiday times. But the courtroom scene was amazing. It inspired my imagination at a very young age because they proved that a man was actually the Santa Claus in A Miracle on 34th Street.
That is terrible.
Right.
That is terrible.
That's a terrible pick? That's an awesome
pick.
I guess. Oh, my God. It's a bit goofy, though.
No, man, because that's the thing. Like, they use the legal process to actually prove.
To prove a miracle.
Which is ridiculous, Matt.
No, they proved he was Santa Claus, man. You got to grow a heart, ride the movie.
Yeah.
Down. I have a heart.
Yeah,
I have a heart.
And shriveled.
And I have a brain also.
Like the Grinch.
Oh, I actually like that pick because it reminds me that, you know, there is magic in the world.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Exactly.
I hate when the guests side with Matt.
You know, seriously, it's a great movie, Ryan. There's a reason why we still watch the original Miracle on 34th Street every year. It's a masterpiece. It's a great film. Yes, it's a holiday movie.
It's a little sappy, but you know what?
I'd rather watch a Brady Christmas.
What? Oh, my God.
Go drink some more eggnog.
Bah humbug.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. At number four, I have a Harrison Ford movie. Oh, boy. You might think I'm going one place, but I'm going another one. This one came out in 1990. It is entitled Presumed Innocent.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Harrison Ford, Brian Dennehy, and Bonnie Bedelia, who is best known as being John McClane's wife in Die Hard.
Oh, that's right.
She is the wife of Harrison Ford.
What's her real name?
Bonnie, I got it as Bedelia.
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. And Ford here, I saw this for the first time, honestly, maybe 7-8 months ago. And Ford plays a lawyer accused of killing a former coworker of his. And you come to find out that he was having an affair with her. And it makes sense that he would kill her. And so as all the facts are coming in, what I loved about the movie so much is, obviously, it's playing it right down the line. So you don't know, is he guilty or isn't he? And as the more facts come on, you're still not sure. And I love that it played it that long. And there is a sort of a surprise twist at the end.
Yes, there is. I remember that.
And I don't want to give that away, but it totally held my interest as being a good courtroom drama. And this is one where he's constantly going back into court. So the whole movie basically starts with the trial and the evidence being brought out. And as you're listening to it all and taking it all in as the movie, I went back and forth. Oh, he's totally guilty. And then like three scenes later, I'm like, oh, I don't think he is. That's a sign of a good movie.
Yeah. The only thing is, I feel like Harrison Ford has done 10 movies like that. But maybe he hasn't. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. But there's like...
No, he has.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, he's this husband that has done wrong.
Well, I mean, you got The Fugitive, say. But you knew at the time in The Fugitive, it's presented that he didn't kill his wife.
Did you hear that the house from The Fugitive is now available to rent? It's here in Chicago.
Right,
in Lincoln
it
Park.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Wow.
You could live in there.
Hey, you know what we should
do? It's like $13,000 a month.
You should record the podcast.
That's
in
what
there.
I was going to say. We should touch base and see if we can't record the podcast.
Just one
there.
Night in the Fugitive House. Yes. That would actually be so fun.
That would be fun. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I like it.
All right.
I'm going to reach out.
Presumed Innocent, my number four. We're into our threes. Jen, what do you got?
Okay. Number three for me is 1997's Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. And Moira, isn't her name Moira Tierney? I don't think it's Moira, but and I just love it. I mean, it's the stupidest movie ever, but there it was before I wanted to strangle Jim Carrey, and it was that movie. And you know, he plays a lawyer that can't stop lying, you know, then his son wishes, you know, that he would on his birthday wish that his dad could only tell the truth. And so it's so ridiculous. But there is a scene, the physical comedy scene, where Jim Carrey is beating himself up in the bathroom that is brilliant. I mean, for whatever, call him whatever, he physically, the guy can do a lot of things with his body. And I laugh every time. And I think my husband's also an attorney, so it kind of cracks me up on many levels. So that's my pick.
Nice. I got to admit, I have not seen Liar Liar.
Oh, I've seen Liar Liar.
Yeah.
It's a kid's movie.
You liar.
And honestly, you were saying this before, you wanted to strangle Jim Carrey. I think this might have been the one that made me want to strangle Jim Carrey.
It's really ridiculous, but there's that scene, and they say he's in the bathroom and he's beating himself up, and they say, "Well, what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm kicking my ass," you know.
Yeah.
So
that was good. There's some good laughs in that.
But overall, it's really dumb.
Yeah.
Man, what do you got at three?
All right, at number three, I have another Edward Norton movie.
Whoa!
And it is The People versus Larry Flint. And there's a bunch of courtroom scenes because it turns out, I mean, this is about The People versus Larry Flint.
Right.
But I think you got to go with the very last courtroom scene when Larry Flint is finally in front of the Supreme Court. He's not wearing a diaper. He's not throwing oranges. And it's Edward Norton who steals the scene because he gives this speech to the justices. And he talks about political cartoons and why... unpopular speech is the most important speech to the health of our nation.
Right.
And he just puts it so eloquently, and I'm not sure if they did that from a transcript of what Larry Flint's real lawyer said. I probably not. But it's Norton's delivery, which is so natural when he says it. He even like messes up a line and corrects himself during this the delivery
wow.
of the speech. He's got to be one of the best actors
yeah.
alive.
Agreed.
I would say.
Wow.
I love it.
Strong.
Although when Larry Flint throws the oranges at the judge, that's also a great scene.
Yeah, that is. Is Courtney Love in that movie?
She is.
Yeah, this is probably Courtney Love's best performance.
Well,
but
I mean, what are you talking about? Like, she's some maiden actress. She's been in like two movies.
No,
what are you talking about?
She's been in quite a few films.
She was
throwing
in
the Jawbox. I want to know how many okay. Courtney Love movies she's been in.
She was Hollywood's
I'll
it
say
girl
less
for
than
a minute.
10. Less than 10.
Okay, whatever. This is definitely her best performance. But then again, it's probably not a stretch for her to play a cracked out junkie.
Right.
And
right.
I know that's been
well
said before,
said.
But...
No. Yeah.
But she played it very well.
She did it well in that movie.
Yeah.
All right. My number three, we swing it over to me. And in number three, I have the movie that gave us Tom Hanks the actor. Up until this point, he was Tom Hanks. He was doing a lot of comedy.
Big.
He did Big, which was good. Splash was good. I'm not saying anything's were great. But he ended up winning the Academy Award in 1993 for playing Josh Beckett in the film Philadelphia. Denzel Washington, he hires as his lawyer. Obviously, at this time, Tom Hanks' character has AIDS. No one wants to take on his case. People are afraid to touch his hands. There was a lot of, you know, no one...
Ignorance.
No one knew exactly what to do or how to react to people who had AIDS at the time. And obviously, he's trying to sue his company for letting him go because of the disease. Antonio Banderas is also in the movie as Tom Hanks' boyfriend.
Oh, that's right.
And a lot of people forget that. I just rewatched the movie, and it's so excellent. And obviously, they're on trial, and Hanks is, you know, his
Getting
body
sicker
is just
and sicker, yeah.
deteriorating
oh, yeah. looks, oh.
In the courtroom. And by the time he's ready to take the stand, and he's just so weak. His body is just
What year
not
was
even
this
there.
Film again? Do you know?
Came out in 1993.
You know, and I'll say, you know, to Hollywood's credit, which you don't hear that phrase very often, this was still, even at that date, I think AIDS was a bit of a topic that had not been tackled properly in a major release.
Right.
So, you know.
Good for them. And also, yeah. I think a lot of actors wouldn't have done it. You know what I mean? They wouldn't want to be portrayed that way. But good for him for saying, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and what a risk for his career.
It was. And not only did this movie obviously propel Tom Hanks to superstardom, as far as we know him, but it was also the Oscar speech that he gave.
If oh,
you guys,
that's right.
If the Jawheads maybe didn't watch the Oscars at the time, go
Put
back and
YouTube.
Watch it. It's probably one of the greatest Oscar speeches in the history of the
I
Oscars.
I remember crying.
It's spectacular. And that itself boosted his career. And obviously at that point, he was filming Forrest Gump. So back to back.
Yeah, blockbusters.
You're going to be remembered.
Wow, I didn't know they were both 93, 94.
Wow. Yeah, what a role.
Amazing.
My number three was Philadelphia. We're into our twos. What do you got sitting there, Jen?
Okay, my number two is 1979's Kramer versus Kramer.
My number two also. Jen, we think alike.
Wow. Hey, so yeah, and that's, as we know, most people probably know, it's Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep. It won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Screenplay, and Best Director for that year. Look at that.
And so worthy.
So worth it. One of the first movies about divorce that, you know, well, one of the first movies about divorce. And they play a couple divorcing and their kids. It's so moving and yet funny and just, I think, eye-opening. And I grew up, I was born in 75, so when I was a kid, the people were starting to get divorced, and it was this huge thing. And so we watched that movie. So my mom explained what divorce was, and you know, it was, anyway, it's one of my favorite movies.
Awesome. Awesome pick.
Yeah.
I'll have a couple more comments when we swing it around. Matt, what do you got sitting at number two?
At number two, I have probably the best courtroom movie, you know, not of all time, but certainly one of my favorites. And it gave us the phrase, the Oscar winner, Marissa Tomei, in My Cousin Vinny. The two Utes.
That's right. The two Utes.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, what's that actor's name? He was Herman Munster.
Oh, throw in the Jawbox.
Jawbox.
The judge, right?
Yeah.
The guy who played the judge? I can't remember either.
Probably one of his last, certainly one of his last big roles.
Yeah. Herman something.
No, that's not his real name.
I'm joking.
Oh, it's like, wait a minute.
I mean, you know, obviously Joe Pesci in a rare comedic performance because he's mostly the mob guy.
And let's not forget Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid.
Oh, the Karate Kid sure is in this.
That's right.
I don't know how the hell Marissa Tomei won the Oscar. I mean, obviously it's a great performance, but I think we were all scratching our heads on that one a little bit.
I don't know. The Academy loves to go with supporting actor or actress in a comedy because comedies don't get the love. And I think when a good one comes around that sort of everybody universally praised.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the best written character, you know, writing for her, but she was so, it was like her like breakout situation for her. And she was great, but yeah, wasn't like spectacular, you know, but she was good in it.
Yeah.
It's a funny movie.
It's a great movie.
So funny.
Two Utes.
The two Utes.
Awesome pick. Awesome pick. As mentioned, my number two is Kramer versus Kramer. Just a couple other thoughts I had on that. One, the spectacular acting between Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep. For the jawheads who haven't seen it, it might be two of the best performances in one single movie that I've ever seen. And two, the movie is so much has to deal with Dustin Hoffman becoming a single parent and getting to know his kid is almost like three quarters of the movie, and it's that last third of the movie that goes to the court scene, and it is heart-wrenching.
It's just so tough to watch.
And when Meryl Streep gets up and gives her, you know, she's on the stand. Oh, wow. That's so rough. Great acting, but so rough. I remember watching it and thinking, like, it's almost too real to watch and
It's
too powerful.
It's heartbreaking.
Loved it, though.
Yep.
Kramer vs. Kramer, one of my favorite movies. That was my number two. We're into our ones, and we really haven't crossed over yet. What do you got sitting there, Jen?
Number one is, like we all probably thought, 1962's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Nice.
You know, weirdly enough, it only won two. It did not win Best Picture. It won Best Actor and Best Screenplay, but it didn't win. I thought for sure that year something else great must have come out as well that year.
Throw it in the Jawbox. What won the Oscar in 1962?
Yeah, that would be great to know. So To Kill a Mockingbird, of course, based on Harper Lee's novel, of course, just brilliant Gregory Peck. Emotional, all this, the racial inequality stuff coming up, it's just, and the Boo Radley stuff, it's just such a well-crafted story, and as a storyteller, I'm like, you can't get a better story than that.
And that's Robert Duvall in there, am I mistaken?
As Boo?
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
All comes full circle. We're talking about the judge.
The judge. Yeah. So anyway, it's just a classic, and the daughter, the relationship between the daughter and the dad, just amazing.
Yeah. And I love the very end when they tell the kids, stand up, your dad's, you know.
Yep.
It's so touching.
It's just touching. It's just a great one.
It is. That's a worthy number one. Matt, can you follow it up?
Well, you know, in all honesty, my number one was A Few Good Men.
Nice.
If I have to sub it out, I'll just toss in a couple of honorables that we don't need to go into depth on.
Okay.
But Aaron Brockovich should be mentioned. should be mentioned. And, you know, I know this is a Keanu Reeves movie, but I love Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate.
Nice.
Love that movie, too.
So those are my honorables.
Nice. I do have to say I'm down on Aaron Brockovich. I remember seeing it when it first came out, and I was very much into it. I watched it maybe a year and a half ago, and I thought, it's not as good as
really?
It ought to be. Yeah, it's more like a glorified TV movie.
Wow, I'll have to look at it again.
Yeah, I think Julia Roberts was...
I haven't seen it in a couple of
years.
Was
given the Oscar by mistake on that one. All right, my number one. One that we have not mentioned, and it's a classic
awesome.
Also. It's right up there with To Kill a Mockingbird. This one came out in 1957. It stars Henry Fonda as juror number 8 in 12 Angry Men. Have you seen this one, Jen?
Yes, and it was very close to my... It didn't quite make my list, but it brings up a lot of emotions for me because this is a powerful movie.
It is. And obviously here... you know what's interesting about this is Sidney Lumet's debut film, and this guy went on to have a career like you wouldn't believe, directing. The whole movie takes place inside the jury room where, from the start, 11 of the jurors find the defendant guilty already, but juror 8, Henry Fonda, does not. And we sort of come to find out that all 11 jurors have their prejudices on why they are automatically assuming this guy is guilty. And slowly but surely, they start to come around to, you know,
that's right.
his sort of take on the thing. And it's just, it's wonderful. I think AFI listed him as juror number 8 is like the number 10 best hero in movie history. And he sort of gets everybody to go around and... Finally, there's like a, you know, a blind vote, and two or three people now all of a sudden say he's not guilty.
Wow.
And then they start talking about it more and talking about it more. And finally, people are breaking down why they were saying, you know, it might not necessarily be about the case, but it was something in their past that is why they found this guy guilty.
It's like a deep emotional, like, you know, just goes to show that, like, we all have our stuff that influences, you know, everything that we see. And,
it is.
You know?
And two, I think it was refreshing, too, because I saw this rather late, not too long ago. And nowadays, there's always a twist, you know? He's doing this because we're going to find out, you know, something at the end. And it was just so nice to see a movie that's so wholesome.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. A couple of honorable mentions, Matt. Should be mentioned The Hurricane with Denzel Washington, where he's the boxer. I love that one. And also, what else did I have here? Murder in the First. This is with Kevin Bacon, where I believe he was on Alcatraz, if I'm not mistaken. But,
also in A Few Good Men, by the way.
He is, yeah. I believe...
It's a great connector if you're playing 6 Degrees.
It's one of those deals where it might be based on a true story where he basically did something very...
Oh, when they put him in the hole?
Yeah.
Like 10 years?
Yeah, they did. He did very little wrong, and then the prison system made him more or less more of a criminal because he committed a crime in jail, and they put him in the hole for like 10 years, and it's like, this all really happened because he was like stealing a coat for his sister.
Right.
And now, you know, he wastes his entire life. Oh. It's crazy. I love that movie, though.
I got to check it out again. It's been a long, long time.
I thought you were going to have Sleepers on your list.
Sleepers? Oh, yeah. Did you give that to me for Christmas?
I believe I did.
Oh, I love that movie.
Sleepers. I can't remember. Is that Kevin Bacon? No.
This is
Kevin
where...
Bacon is absolutely in that
movie. Oh, my gosh.
He is. And Brad Pitt's
a bad
in
man.
There.
Yeah.
And it is it about Chicago?
No.
There's the other one.
I think it's in Boston, right?
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember where the location is.
Jawbox.
Oh, boy. Too many in the Jawbox. He's stuffed down there. He is stuffed down there. Did you have any honorable mentions,
No,
Jen?
I didn't have any honorable mentions.
Well, Jawheads, if we missed your favorite courtroom drama and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We will retweet it and get the discussion going. What we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to have a cinema war looking at what is scarier, dolls or clowns, plus Matt versus Jen in Robert movie trivia. Think of all the famous Roberts you can think of. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a CinemaJaw movie fact. In the film JFK, the scene where Oswald is murdered by Jack Ruby was filmed on location in the actual basement garage of Dallas City Hall, where the shooting took place. And that is your CinemaJaw movie fact.
To get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on CinemaJaw, hanging out with Jen Bosworth. Already been a pleasure, Jen.
It's been so fun. I like it here.
Jen is on WGN Radio. She's writing a book. She had her show just wrap up, but it may go on.
It may go on. You never know.
And for the jawheads who want to know, where's the best place to find out more about Jen Bosworth?
DamnNiceLady.com.
And also to follow you on Twitter?
Why Not Me, the show.
Definitely do it, jawheads. She's always chiming in on Twitter. Witty things to say constantly. Matt, before we open up that jaw box, and we stuffed Elias down there.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I do want to remind the jawheads that our movie club pick of the month was in honor of Gone Girl, David Fincher, directing Gone Girl, opening up this weekend. We picked David Fincher's The Game, Sean Penn, Michael Douglas. You have 2 more weeks to watch it, and we're going to review it in depth. It's sort of like a movie club right here on CinemaJaw.
You know, and this is the first one we've done that's not streaming on Netflix. You're going to have to get that DVD, so I hope you held on to those DVD plans. Otherwise, go to your local library. Guess what? You can rent movies. If they don't have it, they'll order it for you.
Yeah, it's the best. Honestly, I do use the local library.
So do I.
You actually just request it online, and they'll email you and say your movie's ready to be picked up.
It's
crazy
free, guys. It's
so
free.
Awesome.
It is. So The Game, that's a reminder, Jawheads. Matt, before we get to Cinema War, before we get to trivia, wow.
Yeah.
We threw a bunch of facts in there. I hope Elias had time to look them all
He's
up.
He's drowning.
Heck, let's open up that jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! Oh, what's in the box?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You guys, I heard you talking about performance artists earlier. That's funny, because that's what I tell people to get away with, drinking my urine in the jaw box.
So, you just tell them you're a performance artist?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's good.
You know, yeah, because the people here and mothers on the weekend, they just, like, kick the box sometimes.
Right.
Like,
well,
what are
I
you
mean,
doing in there?
I gave you that urine purifier from Waterworld. Is that working well?
Well, I mean, it was nice of you, but it's still...
I think he prefers the real taste.
The
it's
diesel,
good enough for
the
Kevin Costner.
And Elias, what's the temperature like here in Mother's when we're not here? Because it's freezing tonight.
It is freezing tonight. But yeah, you know, I have random... Sometimes Matt throws turkeys in here or scorpions to feed me. And so I stay warm in my own ways.
I don't want to know what that means.
Something about turkeys?
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow, is he creepy today?
There's a long history of what goes on.
It is a long history.
Wow.
I'm like down here like murdering the first. So well, we do have a long list.
Wonderful.
Let's just get to it. Unfortunately, Chicago 10 is not on Netflix. It's another one. Go to your library, I suppose, or it's on Amazon for purchase for $9.99. It's like the cheapest thing.
Plug into Amazon.
Yeah.
It's a free ad, Amazon. You're welcome.
Let's see. How many movies has Courtney Love been in that she was credited in, because she was in uncredited? 11.
Yes!
So you were so
more
close.
Than 10. Damn it. More than 10.
Wow.
And
wow.
A couple other ones were Feeling Minnesota and Man on the Moon. Okay.
Wow, 11.
Yeah,
still.
Right?
Barely. Wow.
All right.
My Cousin Vinny, the actor, was called Fred Gwynne.
Fred
to me,
Gwynne.
More famously known as Judd Crandall. From Pet Sematary,
where
he says, "Sometimes dead is better."
That's right.
He is such a creep in that movie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I say to the scorpions right before I like kill them. So I don't feel so guilty.
We're learning so much about Elias today.
More than I wanted to know.
Okay, 1962, what won the Oscar? It was Lawrence of Arabia.
Of course.
Ooh, I can't really argue that. Lawrence and To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
also up against Mutiny on the Bounty, The Music Man, and The Longest Day.
And Marissa Tomei got the Supporting Actress Award that year, right?
And then the last one, where was Sleepers set? That was New York.
I knew it was East Coast. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Wow, that was
thank you.
I can't believe Elias gets to it every week.
Yep.
He's fighting off scorpions, fighting off
turkeys, drinking urine.
Yep, and he still gets the facts.
Wow.
All right, get back in that jaw box.
That's talent, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Matt, it brings us to a segment called...
Cinema War.
Cinema War works like this, Jawheads. This is where me and Matt bet on a topic each week, and our guest this week... Jen Bosworth gets to play judge, jury, and executioner and tell the jawheads at home who she thinks won this cinema war. It's important because me and Matt, we're fighting for 20 seconds of precious jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. Now, I said, Already, I'm freaked out by dolls. I guess Matt's freaked out by clowns. Heck, Elias, tell the jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic, when it comes to horror movies, which are scarier, dolls or clowns? Matt, you'll be fighting for clowns. Rye, you'll be fighting for dolls. Let the Cinema War begin.
Ryan, you're a clown, and I'm a doll. Way more people are afraid of you. In fact, way more people are afraid of clowns. Let's be serious here. Especially when they are covered in blood and carrying axes. Mm. And that clown that lives under your bed, and while he's slowly squeezing his little beep-beep horn, what do you cling to for comfort, Ryan? What do you cling to? A doll.
Oh, bull. Who clings to a doll? That's ridiculous, Matt. And
that's kind of what they're for.
No, here's my point. The reason dolls are scarier than clowns is that we actually come across them in our own lives. I, for instance, Matt, was staying in a bed and breakfast a few years ago, and this place had dolls, I'm not even crapping you, sitting on the chairs in our room that we were staying on. I was so freaked out by this, I actually picked up one of the dolls and put it under the bed at one point. And then that freaked me out. I kept thinking the doll was going to come to life underneath the bed. Ah! So I grabbed the doll. I didn't even want to touch it at this point. So I buried it under a bunch of pillows in a corner. Now, what bed and breakfast has clowns in a room?
I was going to say, that is creepy, dude. But you know what would have been creepier than dolls sitting on those chairs? Clowns. And you would be scared of dolls, Ryan. Me, I used to line them up and have happy little tea parties. Clowns, on the other hand, they're just plain demented. Seriously.
Man, Matt, dolls are so scary that Hollywood was able to get away with making a ridiculous movie about one of them coming alive. Child's Play was so popular that it ended up with 6 films. What clown film franchise has 6 films under its belt?
All right, here's the thing. A doll is an inanimate object. A clown is an actual person, usually a man, in identity-obscuring makeup. They act strange, they don't talk much, and they want to interact with children. They are creepy as fuck. Notice there is no doll room at a haunted house, but you always see a clown room.
All right. In horror films, clowns have to be turned demented and scary, like you say. The beautiful thing about dolls is how creepy they can be on their own in a quiet room, the way they look lifelike, how they may be looking at you with the creepy smile on their face. Dolls are just plain weird. I will play Bozo Buckets any day of the week instead of sleeping in a room with a doll looking at me.
All right. Pennywise, Captain Spaulding, the killer clowns, Pogo, who is real, a.k.a. John Wayne Gacy. Hell, even ICP are scarier than any doll. You know what the scariest doll that I can think of is? The clown doll from Poltergeist.
Matt, dolls are almost in every horror film. Even when they are not part of the plot, they just add a level of creepiness. Not to mention the puppet dolls. How about the puppet dolls with their movable mouths and the strings?
I think there was a clown one, too, actually.
That's ridiculous. I'm scared just talking about them. Chucky for the win, man. Woo. We are button heads here on Cinema War. This was a great Cinema
really
War, actually.
One.
This was one of my favorites.
Really hard.
We throw it to Jen Bosworth, okay. Our judge, our jury. What did you think of this Cinema War?
I loved the war, and I loved the back and forth. And you guys both made really good points. I mean, they're both scary, creepy, weird, and dark in some ways. I have to say, though, I'm going to say that with clowns, you do have, like, there's, besides Chucky, which is pretty laughable, clowns, you know, the serial killer vibe is stronger with clowns than it is with dolls. And like John Wayne Gacy situation, that ruins clowns for the rest of my life. Also, Pennywise, come on. Also, there's the Northampton clown wandering around, you know, England.
Yeah, what is up with that dude?
I don't know, but that's the scariest thing. And in haunted houses now, I have to say, they do have a doll room at the house, the haunted house.
Out.
They have a doll room at Statesville Haunted Prison.
And we're going there in a couple weeks.
Yes. Yeah. And it's with black eyes cut out, and it's a whole thing. So anyway, it's so tough. But I have to say, if I'm going to have nightmares, it's going to be about clowns.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. And I was really liking you as a guest too, Jen.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I'm also, really. I'm you know, I happen to play with, not now, play with dolls, you know,
Matt
as a kid.
Still plays with dolls. Him and his little Avengers
dolls.
Those
are action figures.
Oh, okay.
Action Those figures. Are action figures. But anyway, I have a fondness for dolls that I don't have ever for clowns.
Oh, man.
You want a balloon, Georgie?
Oh, Lord.
We all float down here.
Oh. All right, Matt, that earns you 20 seconds of doll time to talk about whatever you want.
You know, since Jen brought it up, I'm going to go ahead and plug the fact that we're going to be at Statesville Haunted Prison in a couple of weeks. I believe October 9th. That's next week. Holy crap.
That's when we're recording.
Yeah. So everybody, I encourage you, if you're not in Chicago, if you're in Chicago, go check out Statesville Haunted Prison. If you're not in Chicago, go out to a haunted house. Support these guys. It's a whole industry, and it's just so much fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Get out there. Get scared.
Awesome. Good plug there. We love John LaFlamboy. And what was funny, too, is me and you were at Riot Fest here in Chicago, which is this huge concert venue. But it has this carnival atmosphere, too. We come to find out there's a haunted house on the grounds. Who's running it? John LaFlamboy.
That's right.
All our connections at Cinema Jaw, we're like VIP everywhere we go these days, aren't we, Matt?
Yeah. That worked out well, huh?
It did.
We got to go through the haunted house, and it was a lot of fun. You know who went through the haunted house, I think, like right before we did, too? Ooh. Macaulay Culkin.
Wow. He is a haunted house.
He is. It's really strange. Zombie Army.
You sure he wasn't working at the haunted house?
I think he was one of the zombies.
Or sleeping there? Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Statesville's awesome.
Did you hear that from John LaFlamboy?
No, it's on their Twitter account.
Oh,
like,
is
there's
it really?
Actual pictures of Macaulay Culkin hanging out with John.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
we'll talk to John about that for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Matt, it does bring us to trivia.
All right.
And in honor of The Judge, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall, we are playing Robert movie trivia.
Oh,
it works like this. Jen, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals, and if you get hung up on one, our engineer, Elias Rodriguez, has clues to all the questions. You get one trip to the ER.
I'll go first.
Wow, this is big.
I'm just really going to do it.
Yeah, she seems very
nervous
over there.
Jumping with both feet.
Yeah. Question number one over to Jen.
Okay.
This Robert starred in 2001's Spy Game opposite Brad Pitt.
Robert Redford.
1-0, Jen Bosworth. Question number two over to Matt Kay.
I would have got that wrong, Jen.
Oh.
Matt, Robert Patrick gave Arnold Schwarzenegger all he could handle in this 1991 film.
1991?
Robert Patrick, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's late in his career. I'm going to go ahead and say Last Action Hero.
Wow, got a chance for a steal here.
I got an Arnie question wrong.
Well, you don't know Robert Patrick?
The Terminator?
Must be throwing it over to...
Terminator?
To.
Terminator 2?
T2 it was. Terminator 2.
No, Robert I don't. Patrick. Robert Patrick is the T-2000,
yes,
I'm guessing.
He is.
Okay,
yes.
I did not know his name.
Oh, that
wow.
guy. I didn't know his name either.
T-1000.
Are you sure about that?
I thought
let's throw it in the jawbox.
We're going to get a second dose of the jawbox. I don't know what he is either.
It's the T-2000.
All right. All right. It is 2-0, Jen Bosworth. Question three is over to her. Jen, this Robert starred in 2009's Get Low, in which Bill Murray played an Undertaker.
Oh, Robert Duvall.
She's perfect on her Robert so far. It's a slaughter at this point. 3-0. Keep
it
up, Jen.
If it was only Bobby movie trivia, I feel like I'd do better.
I need to interject here because I'm sure the jawheads at home are like going crazy over this T-whatever-thousand. It is obviously the T-1000. How lame would that be? T-2, T-2000.
Yes.
Come on, man.
It makes sense, actually.
Boy, oh boy. Get with it, Matt. You're down
Matt,
3-0 here.
I love you. I love Matt.
Thank you.
Can I get some love?
I love you, too.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Slightly less than she loves me.
It is 3-0, Jen. Question four is over to Matt. Matt, in 1998, this Robert starred opposite Susan Sarandon in Stepmom, in which Sarandon played a divorced, terminally ill mom. You do have a lifeline if you need it.
I want to say Robert Pattinson. All right, take me to the ER.
Whoa, a trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez, who starred opposite Susan Sarandon in Stepmom?
Your clue is, has a very large mouth.
That doesn't help me at all. Has a very large mouth?
What?
Wow. What the heck is Elias thinking down in that jaw box?
I mean, how would you know?
I know. You know what's on this guy's mind?
She
could fit a whole turkey in her mouth.
Oh, my Lord.
Robert. Damn it. I have no idea. Robert Downey Jr. I have no idea. Who?
Wow. Incorrect.
I don't know my Roberts.
It is still 3-0. You can take a commanding 4-0 lead here. The movie was Stepmom.
Right.
With Susan Sarandon and who?
Is Renee Zellweger in it? Not her, but is she in it?
She's not in it, no.
Dang, it's the wrong movie I'm thinking. Robert Goulet.
Robert Goulet in the center square.
We were looking for Julia Roberts.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought it had to be a Robert.
Roberts.
You're cheating.
I thought about
that. She does have a big mouth.
She has the biggest mouth ever.
Exactly. Elias was onto something here, guys. That should have been the clue. As soon as you heard very big mouth, it's Julia Roberts. Please. Every time.
Horse face. Okay.
All right. Yeah. It is still 3-0.
She could swallow a small child.
It's still 3-0, Jen. And okay. Jen, this is your question, number okay. 5. In 1995, Robert Downey Jr. starred alongside Holly Hunter and Anne Bancroft in this family film directed by Jodie Foster.
Oh, it's Iron Man. Oh, sorry, it's your question.
It's one of my favorite movies, Home for the Holidays.
Awesome. 4-0. This is
it
just
wasn't Iron Man?
This is just a slaughter. Matt, question 6 is over to you. This Robert has appeared in 2 movies that also starred Leonardo DiCaprio, Marvin's Room and This Boy's Life. Name him. Looks like Jen knows this one. She's taunting Matt over here.
No, I'm trying to help him. Osmosis.
It looked like a flat-out taunt.
No.
I thought it was a taunt, Jen.
I just can't think of any Roberts. I can't even think of like a funny one to say.
Wow. I mean, This Boy's Life and Marvin's Room with Leonardo DiCaprio and who?
Was famous it Robert Smith, the lead singer of The Cure? I thought of a funny one.
He is really drawing a blank here. Yeah.
That's really funny, though.
I'm way off
four
my
to nothing.
Game.
Jen, do you know this one?
Yeah, it's De Niro.
Robert De Niro, absolutely. Wow. Wow. It is 5-0, Jen. I love it. The ball game is over at this point, but let's just cap it off in style. All right, yeah. Question number 7 is to you, Jen. Just out on DVD is this 2014 film, The Rover, starring Guy Pearce and this Robert. And you do have a lifeline if you need it.
I don't want to use it. I'll go to the ER?
Yeah.
I can still get a clue?
That sounded like a question. You got to say it with a little bit more.
I can go to the ER. I'm going to the ER.
Yeah! Whoa! Yes. A trip to the ER.
A trip to the ER.
Elias Rodriguez, The Rover, starred Guy Pearce and who?
I just want to say real quick, this is the first time in history someone who acted in ER is going to the ER. This is amazing. So your clue is he does not sparkle in this movie.
Oh, come on.
That's easy. Pattinson.
See, I would have known that one.
Oh, of course, because you're a big Twilight fan, Matthew. It is 6-0, Jen.
Jesus, it's a shutout.
It's a shutout at this point. The last question of the game, Matt, you got to break the ice
come
here.
On.
Wow, pressure's on. Question 8. This Robert has starred in movies titled Strippers vs. Werewolves.
All right.
Night of
Robert
the
England.
Sinner. Night of the Sinner, Wish You Were Dead, and Zombie Strippers.
Robert England. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
Ice. He breaks the ice. Wow, 6-1. You took a beating today, man.
I sure did. I knew that Robert England one, though.
That's shocking. Yeah, I was for sure. The Robert England, he's Freddy? Is that Freddy?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Yeah.
What was the clue on that one? I'd love to know what that was.
Of all the Roberts, he is most likely to end up in your dreams.
Good. Yeah. That's a good one. That's
the man
one.
Of your dreams.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable job. Matt, you went down in a flame of glory.
I did.
Robert just isn't your strong suit, I guess.
Apparently. Yeah.
Robert Smith. That's brilliant, though. That poor guy. He's the haunted house. I love The Cure, but ooh.
Wow. I agree. It looks like he got hit by a train.
Something happened.
Well, unfortunately. The Cure's still around.
I just saw him at Riot Fest.
Yeah.
How were they?
They were good, but I just looked away.
Did he look
I think at a certain age, you just got to stop putting on the lipstick.
I do.
You
know? And he's at this point, wearing muumuus. Right? I mean,
yeah. But you know what? In all fairness, he sounded awesome.
Okay. He did.
And that's important.
His voice was spot on. That's
the whole important. Band did, by the way. And the light show was spectacular. I loved it.
All right.
It.
That makes me feel better. Because if you're wearing muumuus and makeup and you look, you know.
And you sound like crap to boot.
And you look like Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice, you got problems. But I'm glad they sounded good.
Awesome. Boy, oh boy. Matt, it brings us to the end of a great job. First and foremost, we got to thank our guest, Jen Bosworth. Thanks for coming on Cinema Jaw finally.
Thank you. This is awesome. I've been so excited to be here, and now it was everything I hoped.
Yeah, you'll come back?
Oh, I would love to.
All right. When awesome. That book comes out.
Yeah.
Or maybe even sooner.
Also,
yeah.
On WGN, I'm going to try to hook you guys up.
Yeah. Hey, now we're talking.
Oh, yeah, networking.
Boy, oh boy. Not to mention, we just got our press passes for the Chicago International Film Fest, right. So yeah. Jawheads, awesome. Look for some cool interviews there. A lot going on here, Matt.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be a Jaw.
Yeah.
Jawhead.
Yep. And we also, we got to thank our sponsors, and we got to thank our best engineer in the biz, Elias Rodriguez.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks, guys. Fantastic Jaw.
Was awesome.
Yes. Where can we find your stuff? Do we get to that?
You can find me, all things me, at adamnicelady.com and Why Not Me the Show on Twitter.
Just wanted to remind everybody that.
Thank you.
Guys. And Jen, you are a damn nice lady.
Thank you. You guys are damn nice dudes.
You yeah, thank you. Wonderful. I even though you like Matt a little bit more than me.
No,
the truth came out, Jen. The truth came out.
I gotta go.
Matt, we gotta thank our sponsors.
Yeah, thanks to Mobile Monkey.
And also thanks to the new 400 theaters located in Rogers Park. Full liquor bar, best prices on first run movies in all of Chicago. Check out what's playing at the new 400 at their website, thenew400.com. Until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.